strangely enough, the Lord led somebody on my heart before the email came through, and I felt that he wanted me to share something on sustaining our faith in later years or older years. So if you're sort of under 60 this morning, please feel free to have a little snooze. But it's always good they say when you present a sermon to give an encouraging bit of data. So here we go. A recent report in The Guardian stated this: older people are losing faith in God as they age. New research confirming the trend will shock Britain's crisis-hit churches, which until now have regarded the elderly as the enduring backbone of their dwindling congregations. Researchers tracked hundreds of pensioners over 20 years, and the proportion who felt that religion and faith was important to them fell from almost three quarters to less than half. A typical respondent in this survey was David Terry, who was 68, and he lives not too far away over in Worcester. And he said this: as I get older, I've had a few health problems, and I now think more about death. It now seems intellectually preposterous to me to maintain that there's a personal God who can alter actions as a result of prayer. I can no longer see any reason at all to think that there's life after death, even though death is getting closer. Terry, who was very active in the Church of England in his younger days, said he still respects people's beliefs, but that he's certain that it's becoming increasingly irrelevant to many people. Now, we're always told we shouldn't believe everything we read in the papers, but we thought we could trust The Guardian, didn't we? But whether it's true or not, a lot of people in the survey are unhappy with the church, and a lot of people in the survey said that they felt the priests and the pastors were more thought more about raising money than they did about paying personal visits and pastoral visits. But whether it's true or not, if we study the scriptures, we'll find that this isn't anything new. And I guess if your mind starts to think, you could probably think of characters in the Bible who in their later years began to suffer a crisis of faith. Couple of examples. David, for instance. A mighty man of God. We're told that he was a man after God's own heart. Served God faithfully, defeated a lion, a bear, and a giant. But we read later on in his life, when he got a little bit older, we read that in the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, when he should have gone, he thought he'd stay at home. He'd done his bit and he sent off Joab to lead the troops. And of course we know what happens. We know that as he's resting at home, he sees a young lady on a rooftop bathing, and we know the consequences where he more or less fails half of the Ten Commandments, which included adultery, murder, lying, coveting a neighbor's wife, and stealing another man's wife. But we see later on in his life, he suffered because of his actions. And what is incredible in this story is that he didn't seem to have any conscience when he went through this process. Because it wasn't until the prophet Nathan came and addressed him that he suddenly realized what he'd done. Thankfully, in David's case, he was restored in his faith and he confessed his sin and God forgave him. But think about Solomon, David's son. Solomon was the man chosen to build the temple. And God said, I will establish your royal throne over Israel forever. And we have this amazing story where the Lord appears to Solomon in a dream. And God asks, what would you like, Solomon, to fulfill this task? And he asked for wisdom. He could have asked for anything else. But God was so pleased that he asked for wisdom that God gave him wealth and riches and honor and a long life. And also this incredible discernment. We read that Solomon was a man who could understand how plants and animals grew and survived. He was able to understand the complexities of life because of the wisdom God gave him. And people came from all over the world, like the Queen of Sheba, just to sit and listen to the wisdom that God had given him. And yet, despite all that, we read that later on in life, when he was growing old, he was attracted to many foreign women. He ended up with 700 wives and 300 concubines, which was in direct contrast to what God's law says about what king should, how a king should live. Read that in Deuteronomy 17. And these foreign ladies and women turned his heart away from God to worship foreign gods. And one more example, and again, this is a similar trend. Of all the kings of Judah, Hezekiah, it says, was the most obedient to God in his younger days. The Lord was with Hezekiah, and he was successful in everything he turned his hand to. And we read that, again, later on in life, he had a medical problem. It tells us that he had a boil, which obviously became infected. And the prophet Isaiah came to tell him that he was about to die. And so Hezekiah pleads with God and asks him to deliver him from this sickness. And we read that God answered his prayer and added 15 years to his life. And it's interesting, the treatment that Isaiah prescribed, he had to apply a poultice made of figs. Now, I had a very good childhood. David and Jean know my parents, or knew my parents very well. But there's one thing that stands out in childhood, which I don't know if you had to endure. But when I was very young, I had a boil on my bottom. And I can remember now, it's there in the memory, being held down as this pan of poultice was being prepared and was put on a big sort of plaster, and the steaming hot poultice was applied to the boil. I don't know, anybody else remember those days? Yes, that's right. Thankfully, we don't put our children through that any longer. But a poultice of figs. And God delivered him from this sickness. And he had 15 years more life. But again, in Hezekiah's case, we read that later on in life, he became full of pride. And he showed off his wealth and treasures to the envoys of the king of Babylon. And God is displeased with his actions. And Isaiah again comes to address the consequences of his sin. And then just going over to the New Testament, John 6, we read that after Jesus teaching on one occasion, we read that many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. These weren't people that were just there to maybe get a bit of free food. These were disciples of Jesus that couldn't apply his teaching and turn round and walked away. So I wondered, why as we get older, why do some of us struggle in our faith? Why do we find it difficult? Why do we turn back or begin to struggle sometimes in our faith? Well, it can be a variety of reasons, too many to mention, but sometimes medical illness can make us stumble a little bit. Sometimes we've been praying about things for many, many years, and God just seems far away and doesn't seem interested in what we're grappling with. Maybe we come disillusioned with the church. Maybe it's simply down to sin or a lure of worldly pursuits. I was talking to a lady recently who was due to inherit quite a considerable sum, but one of the other family challenged it and overturned the will, and she ended up with nothing. And you know what she said to me? She said, "I blame God for not getting that money, and I left my faith and walked away from God." Loss of an inheritance. So it can be a variety of different things. It can be a steady decline. It can be something dramatic that happens in our life. A whole host of things. And I always think that when preachers stand in the place that I'm doing this morning, we need to be honest. And sometimes people think that people who come to preach have got it all sewn up and all sorted out. Well, that's not the case. And I can tell you, in the last couple of years, I've had a struggle with my faith. We've had a number of issues in our family. Probably the most prominent was a terribly painful divorce, a long painful divorce of our daughter. And the crisis that that's brought to the family, and the crisis and the damage it's done to our grandchildren. And we've struggled to find God in it all. And that's led on to a few other things. And what happened to me was I began to lose a bit of heart. And then I stopped praying. And I find it really difficult to pray. And I remember about a year ago waking up one morning, being honest with you now, and I woke up and the first thought was, I've lost my faith. I've lost my faith. What a place to be in. It was a real struggle. And I know my Gideon associates here don't know that, but it was a real struggle. Thankfully, I've come through that, and I won't go into the details of that, but God has restored me. But, you know, it can happen to any of us. And I've been a Christian for 50 years or so, and it's the first time I've actually been through that period in my later years. So, enough of the negative. Let's see, how can we maintain our faith and nurture and grow our faith as we get older? Because we should know by now that there's no retirement in the kingdom of God. And certainly the Gideons amongst us know that we don't tend to resign from the Gideons. We sort of move on into glory from our role. So let's, if you've got the psalm open in front of you, you don't have to have, but I'm just going to look at one or two encouragements from the psalm that we read. And I've just picked out five sort of verses from the psalm. Verse 5, "From my birth I've relied on you, and I will ever praise you." You know, it's really important when we go through struggles and difficulties and problems that come often in old age, that we continue to cultivate a life of thankfulness and gratitude. And you know, despite the difficulties that we face, we can always focus on something positive and something good that God has done for us. So it's really important to continue to cultivate a life of thankfulness and gratitude. Second one, verse 9. "Do not cast me away when I am old, or forsake me when my strength is gone." You know, it's really important that as we get on in years, we continue to live a life close to God. And we do that really by not neglecting the healthy habits that we're very well aware of. Things like reading God's word every day. Things like trying to pray even when it seems difficult. Fasting and not neglecting fellowship with others. You know, it's really hard as we get older and we've got a sort of wet, damp, stormy night to actually leave the comfort of home and, in our case, drive a few miles to our fellowship or our house group midweek. Sometimes we just think like, well, let's stay in front of the fire and watch a bit of telly, you know. The group will manage without it. It's easy, isn't it? And sometimes in evenings to do that. Let's not neglect to meet together when we have a chance to be encouraged and our faith to be strengthened. And then verse 14. As for me, I will always have hope. Even when we face trials of health or issues that come that are difficult to us, let's continue to be a people of hope and trust in God. You know, Gene and David knew my father very well, and he was disabled in the war, not through an actual combat, but a tragic accident where he was given the wrong treatment and ended up being very severely disabled. And his testimony over many years was that he would rather have suffered that disability and known what it is to walk with God than to be fully active and not know the Lord. That was his testimony, as David knows well. He could have blamed God for his accident. It was a terrible accident. But no, he stood firm in his faith and trusted God. And then 2 Corinthians 4 verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away. I've got the old arthritis beginning to settle in. Yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. And then verse 18, number 4, this is, even when I am old and grey, do not forsake me till I have declared your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come. You know, as older people, we have so much experience and wisdom to pass on to our next generation. Just simply sharing our journey of faith with our family members, with our friends, with our neighbours, and passing on the baton of faith and salvation that we've received. We have, all of us, that response and that responsibility to share what we have with those who are coming on behind us. And then finally, from this psalm, verse 22, I will praise you with the harp. I will sing praise to you. I don't know, we have a few musicians in our midst using their talents for God, and that's great. But, you know, all of us have special skills and abilities, talents and gifts that God has given us to serve the community and to serve the church. And it's really important that we continue to use what God has given us for his church and for his kingdom. And my mum was a good example of that. In fact, we sang today, I was so pleased, we sang How Great Thou Art, because she was a soloist, as David and Jean know, and that was her favourite song. I was taken to many meetings where she was singing, and that was one of her favourite songs that she used to sing. But she was a remarkable person, and although she didn't quite make the age of 90, even in her last years, she was always willing to use her gift of voice. The voice didn't suffer a little bit in the later years, but when asked, she would always use her talent. And she did a little bit of preaching as well in her later years. But she carried on right to the end serving God. And we have, I occasionally go to a little church in Treddington where I live, and there's a man there who must be close to 90, but he still plays the organ there with great enthusiasm, and great to see him still using that gift, even though he's getting on in years. So, we've more or less come to an end, but I want to just finish with three, I think, positive and encouraging stories. We've done the negative stuff. Let's focus on one or two encouraging little stories. And I want to share with you the story of a lady who was 75 years old, and she was called Ethel Hatfield. What a great name, isn't it? Ethel Hatfield. You can almost conjure this older lady in your mind, I think. And she attended a big cathedral in Sydney, Australia. And she went for decades to this church and sat under the teaching. And one day she went at the age of 75, and you know, she'd never had that encounter with Jesus where she committed her life to him and became a Christian. And that morning, for some reason, the Spirit of God moved on her heart, and she realized she needed to get right with God. And she bowed and she received Jesus as her Savior at that moment. And it changed her life, and she couldn't understand why she hadn't seen it before. But the next morning, she rushed to the minister's house and said, I've been born again, I'm a Christian, and I want to use the remaining time I've got to serve God. Would you let me teach in the Sunday school? So he looked at this frail, old, white-haired lady. And the image he had, I think, was these kids running riot as she battled to keep control. So he said, I'm sorry, there's no vacancies in our Sunday school for you. And her face fell a little. But he said, I can see you're enthusiastic, so let's just pray that God will open up an opportunity for you to serve him. So a couple of days later, she was in her garden tending her roses. And a Chinese student from Taiwan walked past and stopped and admired the roses. And she thought, oh, he's a nice young man. Would he like to come in for a cup of tea? And he said, oh, yes, that'd be nice. And he came in, and over a cup of tea, she shared her faith with him. And he was very interested, and he said, can I come back next week? And she said, of course you can, and bring a friend. So the two of them came back a week later, and she again shared her faith over a cup of tea and made them feel welcome. And they said, oh, that's an interesting story. Can we bring other friends to hear this? And so gradually, over a few weeks, she ended up with 70 Chinese students. She must have had a big house, I think. And she entertained them. She served them tea and cakes. But she shared her faith and led many of those young students to a faith and trust in God. So even at that age, she found that niche that God had called her to do, and saw remarkable work just through, you know, being open and willing to serve God. We couldn't conclude without just mentioning one of my heroes of the Bible, and in fact, one of my grandson's name is, we chose Caleb. Caleb, we read about in Joshua 14, and this is great, this. And Caleb says this, so here I am today, 85 years old, and I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out and to battle now as I was then. Even at 85, he still had that fire to go out and serve God and be victorious in God's purposes. And then finally, final story, two sisters in 1949, they were called Christine and Peggy Smith. Two elderly sisters living in the little village of Barvas on the Isle of Lewis. One of them was 82 and was crippled, bent double with arthritis. The other sister was blind. So both of them very immobile, difficult to get out. But in an evening, they would often sit in front of the fire in the winter evenings and just pray. And one of the things that really challenged them was the lack and the dearth of young people in their village church. No young people at all. And so they used to pray regularly on these evenings. And then one particular night, one of these sisters in prayer had a vision of young people coming into the church, and the church being full of young people. So they became very excited at this, and they called the elders of the church and said, "We believe God wants to bring young people to the church." And the elders agreed, and they agreed to pray two evenings a week between 10 at night and 3 in the morning, twice a week, to pray that God would move and bring young people into the church. Nothing happened immediately, but over a few weeks and months, the elders, as they met, one of them had a particular encounter with God one evening where he read Psalm 24 and the Holy Spirit fell on him. And he was convicted of some sin and he cried out to God in the church, and the elders fell on their knees, and that was the start of the revival in the Hebrides. But it all began with two infirm elderly sisters, well in their 80s, who they couldn't do anything else really, but they could pray. And through them, that amazing revival took place. And of course we read that Duncan Campbell came from the mainland and preached on the islands. Building shook by the Holy Spirit. It says in those days, people who were in bed and not remotely Christian just felt convicted of sin and literally ran to the church to be saved. An incredible move of God. But the origin was in these two elderly sisters. So, as we get older and as we face challenges and difficulties and difficult things occur, let's continue to nurture our faith, to build our faith, to continue to serve God in the ways that he's called us. Because this morning, I believe that each one of us has a part to play, whatever our circumstances, whatever our age, and God wants us to play that part so that his kingdom can be advanced. Amen.